This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. In today's program, Pastor Steve Kramer will lead us in a continuation of our study of the book of Ephesians. His message, Your New ID, You Are Family, is based on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. We invite you to grab your Bible and join us as we explore the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus concerning their new identity in Christ.
Guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are family. Stay with us and find out more about what that means for you and me. We'll begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we gather around your life-giving word today, grateful that you desire to speak into our lives through it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and salvation. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing this. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Here ends our reading. Keep your Bibles open. Dear friends, when Jesus Christ steps into our lives, we receive a new identity. A new ID. We have a whole new way of viewing ourselves. That's what the Apostle Paul has been teaching us in his letter to the Ephesians. We've learned from him so far that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, first of all, consider yourself a saint. Secondly, we learned in chapter 2 of that letter, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are God's masterpiece, created for his good works. And today, Paul goes on to teach us something else about the identity of those who trust Jesus. If you trust Jesus Christ, consider yourself family. It's important for us to know that the people that Paul is writing to are non-Jewish Christians. Gentiles is what they're referred to as. And Gentiles had always been considered outsiders by their Jewish neighbors, a bit inferior, that it was best not to relate with them. Paul reminds them of that past in his opening of our passage today in Ephesians 2. He says, "You Gentiles, remember who you were before you met Jesus Christ. You were aliens, outsiders, strangers, far from God and far from hope. But he says, now through Christ, you have been brought near. First of all, you've been brought near to God. Your sin kept you far away from a relationship with this God who loves you. Such is the case with every individual, right? But Jesus came into this world and died as a payment for your sin on a cross. And his sacrifice on that cross restores that broken relationship with God. The chasm caused by sin has been bridged by the cross of Jesus Christ. You have access to your Heavenly Father. But not only has we been brought near to God, Paul goes on to say, you have been brought near to us, the church, which was made up mostly of Jews at this time in history. Paul says, Jesus Christ is our peace. The cross has broken down the dividing wall between us. We're one in Christ. There has been a reconciling of both groups, Jew and non-Jew, through the cross, and a new humanity has been put into place that no longer pays attention to the color of skin or nationality or ethnicity or gender or status in society. He goes on to say, after all, Jesus came proclaiming his peace to you, non-Jews. Peace with God and peace with one another. The Gospels, you see, tell us that Jesus ministered to all kinds of people along the way when he conducted his ministry in this world. So then Paul says, it's consequently, you Gentiles are a member of the household of God. Everybody who trusts in Jesus is a member of the family. So I want you to consider yourself family. With Christ as our cornerstone, we are joined together as family. That must have been heard as wonderful news by those folks. But you know what? That truth that Paul shared with them at that time is as an important truth today for every one of us who call Jesus our Savior and Lord, as it was then. Consider yourself family. You belong. E. Stanley Jones, the great evangelist from the past century, made this statement, which I carry with me and hold dear. Everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to everyone who belongs to Christ. We belong to each other. We're family. Paul then carries that thought about family a bit further as he moves along in his letter, and he tells him what it means to be a part of the family of God. First, he tells him in chapter 3 that there are some real blessings in being part of the church. Many of you know what a blessing it is in your own families to be a part of a family. For instance, I grew up in a loving home where I was accepted and loved and nurtured by a loving mother and father, and accepted by a sister who was supportive, and we took care of each other. We stood up for each other. What a blessing that was for me as an individual. And then later on, I became an adopted part of my wife's family. And then there again, I received all kinds of privileges. The Larsons loved me and they valued me. They gave me immediate refrigerator access. What's in there is yours, Steve. Help yourself. They even took care of me and housed me when I was unemployed. They let me use their car. They sympathized and rejoiced with me and encouraged me and taught me and nurtured me along the way. It was a blessing and a privilege to be a part of the family. Well, the Apostle Paul says, you've got blessings and privileges as part of the family of God. He says, you know, I'm a Jew, but God has called me to act as your pastor, to make sure that You feel like a part of the church family, that you belong. I'm your brother now, and I care about your growth in Christ. I'm praying for you to come to a deeper understanding more and more each day of the depths of God's great love for you. In other words, now you matter to me. You don't stand alone in life any longer. We're family. You got me. I'll take care of you. I'll care about you and love you no matter what, because we're family. And then Paul goes on to tell them that you are fellow heirs and sharers in the promises of the gospel. You're not any less than me, Paul says, or anyone else in the church. We're equals. We share in some wonderful things. Listen to these words of Paul's, chapter 3, verse 6. You have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. As part of the church family, you share in the promises of the gospel, the riches, the forgiveness for the past, access to your heavenly Father through Jesus, eternal life. You belong to Him forever. You're heirs of the free gift of eternal life. Wow! This membership is loaded with all kinds of perks and privileges, isn't it? But Paul doesn't stop there with the perks and privileges. As you know, being a part of your family not only has blessings and privileges, it also has its responsibilities. For instance, in my own home, in our family, we're counting on each other to love and serve each other, look out for each other, and stand up for each other, and share with each other, and stick with each other, and never run out on each other. And that's the frame of thinking that Paul moves towards as he talks with the Christian, reminding them of their membership in the family. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, there are some responsibilities for you to commit to as a member of the church family. I want you to be aware of them, Paul says. He says, I therefore, since you're a member of the family, beg you, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, family member. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here are your responsibilities, Paul says. Live a life worthy of the family name. You got a calling now. You are to act with humility towards one another. He's describing a word which means being considerate of one another, of a healthy self-forgetfulness. He says, show gentleness to one another. Exercise some restraint. Controlled strength. Be patient with each other. That's a long suffering. He says, bearing with each other in love, which means putting up with each other's faults and idiosyncrasies in a sacrificial way, not needing to hit back and get even. Sacrifice your right to get even with each other. What Paul is basically saying here is, I want you to make a commitment to work hard at getting along, taking care of each other, and sticking with each other. You know, dear friends, we sometimes are guilty in the Church of Jesus Christ today of losing that biblical outlook on church membership. We live in such a consumer age, and we have the attitude of the church is there to take care of me like a customer. I'm the customer, and it's your job to make me happy and comfortable. We have a tendency to look at a membership in a church like a membership in a country club. It's there to serve me. And if you don't do that, if you do things that I don't like or say things that I don't agree with, I'll leave you and look for another place that'll do a better job of it. You know, that is so opposite of what God has in mind for His church. I've heard people say, you know, I love Jesus, but I can't stand His church. My response to that is, there's something wrong in your relationship with Jesus then. Because that Jesus that you claim allegiance to loves His church, and He laid down His life for her. So, why is this togetherness and commitment to unity, this stick-to-itiveness, so emphasized by Paul in this portion of Scripture? Well, remember what Jesus said to the disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Let me ask you this. Who in the world would ever be attracted to a bickering, gossiping, backstabbing, non-committing community of faith? No one. They'd run in the other direction. One theologian said, we need to remember that the church is God's provisional display for the world of what He originally intended for the world. We are to love Him and love each other and the world around us. We are His display for the world, meant to attract others in with our love for each other. Each one of us, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is responsible to not let that happen in our church family. Splitting, fighting, bickering, gossiping. For instance, if you're a member of a church family, you are to avoid using your lips to gossip or bash others in the church. We're called to use language that builds each other up. We are to readily exercise forgiveness and grace towards one another. To those who have maybe upset you or hurt you along the way. We're supposed to show grace, forgiveness. We are to be committed to stick with the family no matter what and not run out on it. That takes determination. We are saints, as Paul says, but we're still sinners. The old sinful Adam and Eve still live within us, wanting things to go our way and looking out for ourselves, and we sometimes can really hurt each other and tick each other off. And the temptation is to either talk and think badly of each other or just up and run in hopes of finding that perfect church. Brothers and sisters, that church does not exist. Welcome to the not-so-perfect family of God. But let me tie this up for us. If you're connected to Jesus Christ, that makes you family. And perhaps you've been away from the family. You've run from your church. My goal today is to appeal to you to come back. Plug in again. You need the church, and the church needs you. And for those of you who still are connected, you're family, so enjoy it. With all its privileges and blessings, you call on that family and let it be your support and encouragement and nurturer in your life. But also commit yourself to doing everything you can to enhance the mission of that church and maintain its unity. You love each other. You pray for others. You serve each other. That's your calling. That's a tall order, I understand. But thankfully, we're not on our own in making this happen. God's power is available to us as we pray. And so I invite you to pray with me to our Heavenly Father this prayer today. Father, thank you for the privilege of being a member of your family through Jesus. I promise to be a source of unity in my church. I know there are no perfect pastors or church members, neither am I. I will work at not being a source of gossip or dissension in my church family. Help me to do all I can to keep my church in unity for the sake of the gospel. Congratulations, your family. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray our messages on your new ID have encouraged you as we continue to explore our role as a child of God. If you would like to continue your support of Christian Crusaders well into the future, consider including this ministry in your estate planning. By offering an estate gift to Christian Crusaders, you can leave a legacy that is built on bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to thousands of listeners for many years to come. For more information on estate planning, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your gifts to Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you would like to hear a rebroadcast of today's inspirational message, check us out on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting the service was our speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.